was there. So I thank the city and the Atlanta Bar Association for the opportunity, and the board and the ethics office for all of the support and hard work and terrific job that the board and the office has done. Thank you.
We truly appreciate Caroline's service to the board, and as the new board chair, I definitely have big shoes to fill, so thank you, Caroline, for setting such great groundwork and an excellent example for me to follow. Our next order of business are the enforcement actions, which you'll find under tab 2 of your binder, and I believe those are going to be presented by Carlos Santiago, attorney investigator for the ethics office. And Kate Wash, our board member, is now joining us.
Okay, so getting started. The first matter before you is in the matter of Martina Miller. We have a proposed settlement agreement between the ethics officer and former City of Atlanta employee Martina Miller. Following the board's finding of a probable cause at the January meeting, the ethics office held a pre-conference trial with Ms. Miller, where the parties were able to reach an agreement to resolve this matter. Ms. Miller signed the proposed agreement and returned to the ethics office. And a copy of the signed agreement is in your board package, and that's located behind tab 2. Per the terms of the agreement, Ms. Miller acknowledges that she violated the city's ethical standards by soliciting and obtaining meals and food services free of charge from Manuel's Tavern. Ms. Miller agrees to pay the City of Atlanta a civil penalty of $300 and will pay in monthly installments of $50 from her personal funds beginning on March 1st, 2015. The assessed fine must be paid in full by September 1st, 2015. And this is also consistent with other similar agreements accepted by the board. In determining the appropriate monetary penalty, we took into consideration the approximate value of the free meals obtained by Ms. Miller during the six-month period in question. And we also factored in, as a mitigating circumstance, the fact that Ms. Miller is currently unemployed. So therefore, we respectfully ask the board to accept the settlement agreement and order Ms. Miller to pay a civil penalty of $300 from personal funds for her violations of Section 2817 and 2818 of the City's Code of Ethics.
Are there any questions for Mr. Santiago? I'll entertain a motion if deemed appropriate. Oh.
I have a question.
Yes.
Was there any discussion in this settlement about some acknowledgement being in personnel file?
Because she's no longer employed, I don't think there was a discussion about that. However, what we can do is add a clause where we will inform the personnel office of this action taken, so that if she's ever considered for rehiring by the city, that they will have a record of the personnel, of this particular ethics violation.
Thank you. That's why I asked the question, because I know we had done that in
office. We have done that in the past.
Any other questions? A motion, if appropriate.
Okay. You're gonna.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we accept the settlement agreement in the matter of Martina Miller under case number CO-14-014. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Hi, I'm sorry. Can we back up a minute? Because Ms. Snipe Crawford had mentioned adding a provision, and as the ethics officer had talked about. So do we have to add that before we approve?
No, I think what can happen is typically you all will approve and then we will prepare an order, and that can be included in the order, which is executed by the chair of the board. But if you want, for clarity's sake, if you want to just say that we make, you know, to make certain that we include that in the order, we can do that. Whoever
that
made
would
the
not,
motion to approve.
Right, because that wouldn't be a part of the settlement agreement itself.
Right.
So the
The motion was made by Mr. Adams, so it would need to be amended.
Well, it doesn't need to be a part of the settlement agreement.
It doesn't have to be, but if what he can do is just indicate approval of the agreement with the understanding that the order will incorporate language that the settlement agreement would be included in the file of Ms. Miller in the event that she seeks reemployment by the city. Would you be amenable to that, Mr. Adams? Thank you.
Thank you.
The motion has been amended by Mr. Adams. And Ms. Walsh, does your second carry to the amended
yes.
motion?
I will second the amended motion.
All right. Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous, and the motion carries.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We'll prepare the order for your signature. The second item on the agenda is in the matter of Pamela Lockett. In the matter of Pamela Lockett, we are seeking a subpoena for her to appear before the board at the March 19, 2015 regular meeting. We're asking for a subpoena because Ms. Lockett has failed to comply with the terms of the settlement agreement approved by the board on October 23rd of 2014. Per the terms of that agreement, Ms. Lockett had acknowledged that she had violated the city's ethical standards by using city property and equipment on city time to create and print fraudulent GED certificates, pay stubs, and high school diplomas for the private advantage of herself and others. She was ordered to pay a civil penalty of $1,500 in monthly installments of $100 from personal funds beginning on August 15, 2014. Ms. Lockett did make an initial payment of $300 on October 7, 2014. However, she's not made any payments since, and she's now $400 past due. The ethics office mailed invoices to Ms. Lockett's current address on October 24, 2014, December 1, 2014, January 6, 2015, and again on February 3, 2015. We've also made contact with Ms. Lockett by telephone on multiple occasions, and each time she has indicated that she would make a payment by the end of the month, but failed to do so. So therefore, we're respectfully asking that the board issue a subpoena for Ms. Lockett to appear at the March 19th meeting.
Any questions for Mr. Santiago?
Yes, she does. We
will seek the assistance of the solicitor's office, but at this point, we are hoping that this will let her know how serious this matter is, and hopefully she will go ahead and pay and won't have to make the trip, but we will seek their assistance if we need to.
Any other questions? Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded that we issue a subpoena to Ms. Pamela Lockett under the matter of Pamela Lockett, case number CO-14-015. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous, and the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The final item on the enforcement agenda is in the matter of Cynthia Birch. In the matter of Cynthia Birch, we're also seeking a subpoena for her to appear before the board at her upcoming enforcement hearing, which is scheduled for March 19th, 2015. As a recap, Ms. Birch is alleged to have violated the city's code of ethics when she solicited and obtained free meals and food services from a local restaurant, accepted a $100 gratuity from a local developer during an inspection, and misused the city vehicle and city time for a private advantage. To date, And despite having received notice of the ethics complaint against her, Ms. Birch has failed to respond to any notices from the ethics office. She failed to appear at her January 15, 2015 probable cause hearing and did not respond to our request for a pretrial conference. Therefore, we respectfully ask that the board issue a subpoena for Ms. Birch to appear at the March 19, 2015 regular meeting.
So move.
A second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous and the motion carries. A subpoena will be issued for Ms. Cynthia Birch in the matter of Cynthia Birch under case number CO-14-013.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That concludes the enforcement actions.
Thank you. We'll move to the financial disclosure part of our agenda, which is our report to the board on the 2015 filing season.
We are on target in terms of our calendar of activities prior to the disclosure season. As you know, the season officially opens March the 2nd of this year and will run until April the 1st. We have finalized, or at least the current status of the list is how many, Sherry? You can go to the mic, please.
Currently, we have about 1,800 employees scheduled to file financial disclosure statements this year and about 400 board members.
The letter should be going out probably next week. Is that correct?
Yeah, the notices to file will be going out about midweek of next week, and so everyone should be able to start filing March 2nd.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Oh, and one other thing, the e-filing day where they can come in and file electronically with assistance from the ethics office will be March the 16th, okay, which is the Monday. Thank you.
Thank you.
We attempted to schedule it for the same Monday as a council meeting because we tend to have a lot of activity during that time. And so we're hopeful that people will take advantage of that opportunity to come into the atrium and actually file.
That moves us to the ethics officer's report under tab 3 of your binder.
Yes, board members, if you will go to tab 3 in your board book. The first page outlines those activities of the office between January 9th, February 13th of this year. Our activity level remains pretty consistent in terms of meetings regarding ethics questions as well as pre-bid conferences. You'll see the associate ethics officer conducted training this past month for 132 new employees. We've responded to 20 requests for written and verbal advice, and we turn those around in less than a week. In terms of the e-learning project, I did have my meeting with the chief information officer and am awaiting his go-ahead in terms of providing the support we need to make sure that the e-learning project has the support it needs to be sustained. And so I am awaiting that from him. As you know, that in the midst of us completing this project, there was a change in the leadership of information, the information technology department. And so it's important that we make sure that we are appropriately supported once we roll this out. The associate ethics officer, as well as the contract investigative, launched an ethics in action educational series on the ethics website and by citywide email, where each month there will be a feature on a particular ethics issue. And if you've seen the ethics website recently, you'll see we've done some housekeeping to try to improve it and make it more user-friendly. In terms of investigations and actions, we have opened one new ethics case since the last meeting, have settled one case, which you all just voted on, and we've got five open cases that we're continuing to investigate. And then you've already received the update about financial disclosure. Are there any questions about the activities under the work plan? If not, I'll move to the budget. our budget, we are on track in terms of our spending. The only variances we have experienced relate to personnel expenses, and it's actually in a category that we don't have a lot of control over. I believe it was the health insurance category where there may be a slight deficit in terms of what has been budgeted, but that's not anything that we could control, and the city is responsible for that. But other than that, we are on track and doing fairly well in terms of the budget. Any questions? Okay. Hearing none, I would like to move to the proposed, if you go to the next sheet, the proposed 2015 through 2017 work plan. As you will recall, we discussed this plan during the December retreat, and what appears here should reflect the comments that were made in terms of the feedback that we received from you in terms of the proposal. After your review, I would ask for an action of the board accepting the 2015-2017 work plan for the office.
Board members, if you would take a minute to review that work plan so we can vote on it.
If you would like and believe it's important to the public, I can go through very quickly what it is that we are proposing to do over the next 2 years.
That would be great. Thank you.
The first under operations is that we are seeking a guaranteed minimal annual budget based on a percentage of the general fund. We're looking at 0.1% of the fund, but certainly no funding less than $500,000 for the operation of the office. We also will continue to seek a direct appropriation from the enterprise funds of the city, given the citywide role of the ethics office. As I indicated to you before, both the city attorney's office as well as the city auditor received direct appropriations from the money-making or the enterprise funds that the city has, meaning watershed and aviation and other areas that are operated as businesses. We do not receive that. We are part of the indirect cost analysis, and it's our contention that we should be treated like those other two offices and receive actual direct funds from those entities. And given that we do have a citywide function and provide quite a bit of advice and have a lot of activity in the enterprise funds, we just believe that's appropriate. So we'll continue on that quest. We are also seeking to add investigator attorney to the staff through the addition of a full-time position. As you know, Mr. Santiago is currently with us in a part-time position, but we certainly have enough work that an investigator could do on a full-time basis, so we will be advocating for that. Provide an orientation process for newly appointed ethics board members, which should be completed during the first year of the appointment. We also want to set a goal of allocating at least 5% of our annual budget to the professional development of our staff and use a variety of media to communicate ethics messages, including local network, public affairs programming. As you will recall, in December, we discussed that in addition to Channel 26, that we should seek to use media outside of the city to communicate the ethics message for the city. Under training, continue to provide new employee orientation ethics training on every other month, which we've been doing for the past couple of years. Conduct newly elected officials training as required by the Atlanta Code of Ordinances, which we did last year when we had at the completion of the election and the beginning of a new term. Incrementally increase the number of ethics training opportunities provided by the ethics office to city employees, officials, and citizen volunteers. So we're looking to do that through lunch and learns as well as through the use of our e-learning course. And again, complete and implement the e-learning course, something we want to do within the next 2 years. Continue to attend pre-bid vendor conferences to provide information about the applicability of the ethics code to prohibited sources. And our additional goal is to obtain legislation which would mandate ethics training for all city employees, including city council staff, every 3 years. We've accomplished it in terms of the city council staff. We've got an administrative order from the mayor, but of course that runs until his term ends, and we believe that this needs to be codified and included in the ordinance so that whoever's, that it doesn't matter who the mayor is, that there will be a requirement of mandatory ethics training. Under rendering advice, we'd like to continue to respond to 90% of the requests for informal advice within 10 days and facilitate the handling of integrity line matters within 3 days of receipt. Handling meaning making sure that it goes to the appropriate entity if the ethics office is not that entity. Continue to maintain the database of ethics advice that's provided. Continue to provide an annual report to the ethics board and the general public. But we're also looking at, as we discussed, doing a publication which will list the formal advisory opinions, not the actual opinions, but actually the list that people can have so that they will know what the board has already opined on and be able to be directed to it on the website. And we've got a goal of trying to issue at least one formal advisory opinion annually. Public education and outreach. We'll continue with the development and distribution of various publications targeting specific populations regarding the ethics code and its applicability. Use a variety of media to communicate the ethics message. Consider publication of a hard copy of the Index of Formal Advisory Opinions and produce additional ethics advisories for broadcast on Channel 26. Investigations and enforcement actions. Complete 90% of investigations within a six-month period. Strengthen our relations with investigators in the city as well as external agencies. Identify and acquire tools to enhance our investigative capabilities and come to a final resolution of issues with the city solicitor's office regarding the enforcement of board orders. Financial disclosure, we'd like to look to increase our timely filing rate to 98%. Last year, we had a 96% timely rate. Complete the audit of the annual financial disclosure filings through the city auditor's office. They have included that as a part of their annual plan this year to actually look at the information that we're receiving. We'd like to improve our transparent Diamond Award ceremony and the efficiency of the annual financial disclosure process. And finally, in terms of legislation, and I think we said we were going to change this to advocacy instead of lobbying, to review the current ethics code and make recommendations for improvement, strengthen the enforcement provisions, and expand remedies available to the board. And I think this, by way of clarification, we were talking about trying to codify those provisions that we often present to you where we want to either make a report to the personnel office or to somehow make it mandatory that where we have board members who have failed to meet their financial disclosure requirements, that they should not be allowed to continue to serve on those boards. And again, come to the resolution with the solicitor's office about how it should process ethics cases. And so that is a high-level version of the work plan that we are proposing for adoption for the next 2 years.
Are there any questions? Okay. With the one change of legislation, lobbying to the word advocacy, I will entertain a motion to adopt the 2015-2017 work plan.
So moved, as amended.
A second.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of adopting the 2015-2017 work plan as amended, please say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous, and the motion carries.
Board members, the next item is a proposed letter to Mayor Reed regarding fiscal year 2016 budget request. For the past 2 years that I've been here, I have drafted a letter to be executed by the chairperson of the board to outline what our request is for the budget. Just by way of background, the budget on an annual basis is presented by the mayor to the City Council. The City Council holds hearings, and the City Council eventually votes on the budget. Typically, the ethics officer and members of staff have had to participate in the briefings before the City Council on the budget. Because we are an independent agency, it has been my view and my recommendation that we always are very clear to the mayor about what it is that we are seeking, and that even if the recommendation of the mayor is different from that, we've at least put him on notice of what it is that we need, and we can also share it with the council if that is appropriate. And so just as last year, where we included the request that our budget be increased so that prior to last year, our operating budget was 50-something thousand for a citywide function, which was really, I think, asking a lot. And so we at least got an increase up to 150,000. This year, what we are seeking again is to try to get an allocation of $605,000, which would allow us to retain the $500,636, which we got this year, but also would allow us to have a permanent full-time attorney investigative position. So the additional $104,000 is the salary plus the benefits. And so we would be making that request to the mayor to include in his proposed budget. We also, again, are advocating the notion that the budget of this particular office should be treated a little differently than other entities, in that in order to retain our independence, it would be preferable if there would be a codification of us receiving a certain percentage or a certain minimal amount of money, as opposed to having to negotiate each year with the mayor's office. So again, we are advocating that particular position. And thirdly, the direct allocation from the enterprise funds we are seeking, as is done for the city attorney's office as well as the city auditor's office. With that in mind, that's what's expressed in this letter, and certainly it probably could use some editing, but this is what we're proposing and would ask, if not a vote, at least your consensus on being able to have this letter sent to the mayor. We were just informed that the kickoff for the budget is March the 4th, so the sooner we can get this done, the better.
Are there questions, board members, as to the substance of the letter?
I have one question, and that is, we are talking about the budget allocation being set as a percentage of the general fund, and my question is whether we mean as at least, or do we mean as a set percentage of the general fund?
What I would say is, by way of formula, that we would request that it be a set percentage of the general fund, and that whether all the money comes from the general fund or it's made up with the direct allocations is really not our concern so much as just making sure we get a percentage, or alternative, that it not fall below the current funding of $500,636.
I see. Thank you.
I have a question just for clarification in my own mind. The current investigator that we have is operating on a contract basis, but is that, and the work that's being done is part-time. Do we actually have a part-time position, or was the intent that the work is being done on a part-time basis?
What happened, we started as a contract. We have been able to transition it into a part-time position. But because of the Affordable Care Act, and we don't have the funding for benefits, we have to limit his work to 30 hours a week.
Yeah. I was asking that question because I had an afterthought when we looked at the work plan. We said the addition of a full-time position. And when I read that initially, I assumed we meant going from part-time to full. But it could be interpreted if we have currently have a part-time position, is our work plan to add a second position that would be full-time or just to convert the part-time to full-time?
The plan is to convert at this point from the part-time to the full-time.
Any other questions on substance?
No, I was going to say that answers my question. I just said, asked the ethics officer to look at whether or not we need to amend the language in the work plan.
Anyone else have questions or comments about the substance of the budget letter? I would just ask that we, if there's a consensus, that we send the letter, of course, that we will do some editing. But is there a consensus among the board members that we, in fact, submit a letter to the mayor with our budget requests?
Yes, for me.
Yes.
Okay. So we will move forward and make sure that we get, I'll work with the ethics officer to make sure we get the budget letter out to the mayor in a timely fashion. Okay. That moves us to our public comments, and I do not see any members of the public present. The next Board of Ethics meeting will be Thursday, March 19th, 2015, 6 p.m. here in the City Council Chambers. If there is no other business pending before the board, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Been moved and seconded that we adjourn this meeting. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
-1081 U78-19 at 2605 Campbellton Road, and it's a transfer of ownership, and the recommendation is to refer it to the zoning committee.
Okay, the motion before us is to refer this item to the zoning committee. Any discussion on that motion? All right, there being none, Mr. Webb, let's take the vote.
The vote is open. Please vote. The vote is now closed. 11 yeas, 0 nays.
11 yeas, 0 nays. The motion carries. This item will be referred. Ms. Adrian?
Thank you. And I do-